What we're dealing with here now in the Hazy Moon Sea is life and death. And of course, that's what Buddhism is all about from the start. The Buddhists, see, the old master said, if you're not concerned about life and death, see, you won't actualize this practice. I'm going to, for those of you who, and again, I was talking to Shindo a little bit earlier, where I said, sometimes I will say things here that I sort of goad, it's almost with a negative thing, I'll say, but you won't do or you won't see. And what I realize is that I'm trying to motivate, to see if I can stir up just enough that you say to yourself, what the hell with you? I'll do it because you say I can't do it. And as I say that and as I give that caveat there, see, the truth of the matter is most of the people won't get it. But hopefully some will get it. What I did, I hadn't looked at Ponlop, whom I have tremendous respect for, a Dzogchen master up in Seattle. See, and for the new people, not only did I practice with my teacher, who was a Zen master, but I did in fact have an amazing encounter with a Dzogchen master, Lama Wangdor, who appeared as a guardian when I desperately needed someone to sort of turn me around and get me headed in the right direction. See, and it's an interesting thing. The right direction is always, always easily accessible. But when we are trapped in our mind, we won't get it. So anyway, in just thrashing about a little bit and wanting to read again, I realized that I had not read Ponlop. I talked a little bit about it, but I hadn't read The Mind Beyond Death. See, Mind Beyond Death. See, and so in that work, and I recommend it, and I also will mention that there, and what he's quoting is from the great Padmasambhava, whom I guess is maybe the chief, isn't he maybe the most important in the Tibetan lineage? Sort of almost like a Shakyamuni Buddha. Yeah. And this is basically, Ponlop says in his book, The Mind Beyond Death, that he's literally just taking the text and talking about it. But it is so relevant. And the thing for me, see, if in those of you who have been sitting here with me for all these years, see if I have been consistent in the message from my own experience. Now we can start here by saying, here is Ponlop. He's saying, being in the present. Now, for the new people, you may not even know what the present is. The rest of you should be totally aware of it. This is the purification of your mind, present. He said, being in the present, in the state of nowness, see, is where we begin. We began our discussion of these teachings. And that is where it ends too. Do you get that? Those of you who are here, you should know. I can already see some of the blank present. Can you be present? See, no thinking. Simply sit here and be aware. See, you cannot leave the present. Be aware of that. See, as we take this journey. This is where we began our discussion of these teachings, and this is where it ends too. Not in any other place, but right here and now. This is the complete teaching of this Padmasambhava. I hope, I think I have been consistent in trying to get you to sustain this, and it can only be done by practice. You can't think your way into it. It is your thinking that keeps you separate from it. He said, when this bardo ends, we take birth either in samsara or in nirvana, in some form. See, now, you say, I don't believe that. Well, if you don't believe it, go do something else. Because the practice of Buddha Dharma is something you prove to yourself. The Buddha himself said, see, I point out, see, why you're suffering, and I give you a pathway out. And if you can't prove it to yourself, go do something else. Don't waste your time coming upstairs here. See? When this bardo ends, we take birth either in samsara or in nirvana in some form. From the Buddhist point of view, death is not the end because it is also the beginning. See, Dogen Zenji said, birth and death, that's the life of the Buddha. What is Buddha? The great Basso answers, what is Buddha? Mind is Buddha. Mind. See, where is that mind? If you can sit here totally present, that's mind. If you are talking to yourself now, that's the dualistic mind, the little mind, that's the flaw that floats on the eye of this Buddha mind that causes you to be lost. See, in the movement of your egocentric mind, your conditioning, your likes, your dislikes, your belief system, all of that is false. It misleads you, it keeps you trapped in samsara. See? From the Buddhist point of view, death is not the end because it is also the beginning. See? And this has a message for us about suffering. See? Now, bardo. See? Oh, there's, some of you may have read the book on the bardo. See? And we associate it with death. But that isn't how these great Tibetan or Buddhist teachers view bardo. See? There's some confusion with this. The bardo is translated as intermediate, interval, or in-between state. See, in one sense, it refers to the experience of the present moment. You were born, present moment. See, you die. This is a bardo moment, and it is even faster than that. See, this is coming up. There is this bardo state. It has ended. That's what the bardo is. See? And, see, it is continuously flowing. Continuously flowing. It can be extended, and it can be brief. See? It refers to an experience of a certain duration of time, marked by a clear beginning, a sense of continuity, and a distinct end. So don't become all confused. Don't be trapped in some sort of a misinformation out there. And I only say that because I may have been the only one who was ever confused by that, because I always thought when the Tibetans were talking about the bardo state, and I had read a lot of English-speaking people translating it, that's when you die. You enter the bardo. No, no. You're in the bardo right now. See, you're in it right now. Death, according to the Buddhist way of practicing, see, death is not something that we accept or reject. That is, we do not go toward death prematurely, nor do we try to hold it off indefinitely if its time is actually come. See, and a Buddha simply takes care of the now. See, and when it's time to die, we don't try to push it off. See, we accept here now. This is the Buddhist way. What is a Buddhist? What is Buddha? A Buddhist is somebody who follows Buddha. What is Buddha? Buddha is mind. Whose mind? Your mind. As you sit here now, if you are freed from your conditioning, see, and simply listening, see, you are sitting in the center of mind and mind only. Whose mind? Your mind. See, your mind. And as you look out into this, realize the modern cutting-edge science is in agreement with this. 100% agreement within this. There is nothing beyond the reach of your mind. This is cutting edge physics. See? And if you can actualize the practice, you can begin to realize that the essential thing is practice. Ultimately, see, the only place that you can produce compassion is when you have released yourself from your egocentric mind, the center of what you are, sitting here freed from your dualistic thinking, is compassion. You don't have to look for it. You don't have to try to develop it. That's what you are. As you look out here, you want to reduce pain and suffering because you have taken vows today to save all suffering sentient beings. To save all suffering sentient beings. Are you a sentient being? And do you suffer? You wouldn't be here if you didn't have some relationship to suffering. This is the best way, see, that we can begin to take care of ourselves when we become selfless. See, and we simply work to bring harmony. See? Buddhist practice consists of being who we are, which includes being where we are. I think, again, isn't that what I'm constantly telling you? Who you are, where you are, as you are. If you try to push that away, you're denying the reality and you can't push it away. You simply cause yourself pain and suffering. See, and then if you try to grasp it and keep it from changing, that again is a fool's errand because it is changing. In the Avatamsaka Sutra, 7,000 times a second. In quantum physics, it's changing decimal point 43 zeros and a one. Do you ever try to put those together to see how accurate they are? See? It's fast. It's fast. See? See? This is what's changing. So the secret, see, the secret, if you can get it, is to simply stay awake. And you can't do that by an act of will. It can only be done by practice, which is what most of us don't want. And what we have done because of our conditioning, we bring an entire agenda, see, into the zendo. We make practice terrible. The Japanese in some of the books, they talk about the terrible pain and suffering of sitting on a cushion. Dogen Zenji doesn't say that. He says Zazen is the doorway to repose and bliss. The great Rinzai master, see, Wang Yu, what does he say? Engo, see, in translation. See, what does he say? Relax and release. Relax and do you sit like that? Relax, be in the present, and release everything. Everything. See, simply sit and be awake. Being who we are now is being in the bardo of this life. Now remember, this is the ultimate teaching of the what the Tibetans consider as the second Shakyamuni Buddha. And Punlop is reading from the text. See how simple it is and see how we misconstrue, how we confuse everything. It isn't that difficult. Why do we make it difficult? Because of your conditioning. Because you simply refuse to come in and sit down. You don't have to come here to do it. How many of you do it on a regular schedule at home? Where in the morning you take some time that you set aside, not for hours, see, but where you actually try to work in quality time. What is quality time? What did he start by saying? Here and now, where you relax and you sit in the here and the now. And he's going to give you some instructions, see, this great master on how this is done. Again, those of you who are smart, we got some really smart people in this room. You can't figure it out, smart folks. See, you can't figure it out. You can only practice. And it will, in fact, change your life. Being who we are now is being in the bardo of this life. That is how and where we must be. I think I have consistently tried to get you to see this. See, and how many of you struggle with that? How many of you still try to produce some other kind of state? You're coming in and see, when I came into this with the old hippie era, and that's what put together the UCLA at that time, we were all old hippies, and we all came in to have another psychedelic experience. And it died quickly. Why? Oh my God, you had to actually sit down and deal with your neurotic mind. See? And there was no avenue out of that. Well, I want to have this big experience. I want to shine up my aura. See? And that was a statement that was made to me by one of my friends when I went into Zen. I won't give you anything about his background, but it was colorful. See, and he said to me, you know, I might come over and sit with you a little bit because, he said, I think my aura needs a little shining. It's probably true. See? But again, see, that isn't what it is. And the reason it is painful, it's because we are addicted, see, to our thoughts, to our fantasies, to our dreams. See, we are also addicted to all of the negative things, the negative narrative that we use and say about ourselves. Watch yourself very carefully, the people we won't see here again, but pay close attention. Begin to hear the narrative that you use concerning yourself. That narrative was formed lifetimes, but mainly given big form in the first 7 years of your life. And you talk to yourself continuously in negative terms. Actually, the research that's been done in neuroscience on this, see, is that 70 to 80% of your internal dialogue is negative. And you will never experience the freedom that comes from Buddha Dharma if you keep yourself trapped in your negative narration. You have to see it, and then you have to counter it. When you begin to have that dialogue, you immediately bring yourself, the path is always in front of you. It's called the here and the now.